Welcome to episode 56 of the Burning Bush Podcast, where we share the message of the Bible while enjoying a good cigar. Glad everybody could stop by again and hope you're doing well. This week, I am smoking the Rocky Patel The Edge Maduro in the Toro size 6x52. So let me go ahead and read you the description from their website. I'm going to get a couple, most of it off their website today, and then a couple things off Cigars International, because they don't have a profile or where the leaves are from on the Rocky Patel website. So I'm going to jump over to Cigars International for a couple of those things. The Edge Maduro remains one of the hottest brands sold within the United States. And the reason is simple. Consistency. Impeccable style and a constant smooth burn have made this cigar a blazing success. Factor in the bargain price point and you'll understand why this cigar is called the Edge. Featuring an exclusive Maduro wrapper, this cigar has a unique edge all to its own. Discover the difference today. And the profile is medium to full. Wrapper is a Habano Maduro, and its origin is Honduras. And the vitolas are the Missile 5x48, Robusto 5.5x50, Toro 6x52, Torpedo also 6x52, the Double Corona 7.5x52, and the B52 4.5x60, the Battalion 6x60, and the Howitzer 7x70. And they received a 92 rating from Cigar Aficionado, a 91 rating from Cigar Snob, and a 90 rating from Cigar Journal, and also voted Cigar Journal's best Honduran cigar of 2015. So that is the Rocky Patel The Edge Maduro. So with that, let's get back into Justin Bass's book, The Bedrock of Christianity. And I know I said last week that we had finished up chapter 2, but I was mistaken. This section is the end of chapter 2, and it is entitled Jerusalem and Beyond. I already spent the prologue discussing Paul's first visit to Jerusalem. In Galatians 1:18-19, we are told Paul spent 15 days with Peter and also some time with James, the Lord's brother. As I argued above, this is pivotal concerning the bedrock facts laid out in this book. It was likely during this visit that Paul received the bedrock source, the creedal traditions found in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-7. I will discuss this bedrock source in detail in the next chapter. But for now, let's finish Paul's autobiography as he recounts it in Galatians. After Paul left Jerusalem, he tells us he went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, Galatians 1:21, probably right at the end of AD 37. Paul also adds that the churches of Judea were glorifying God because of his conversion, Galatians 1:22-24. Paul quotes the message he was hearing as, He who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. Galatians 1:23, and see also Acts 9:21. These churches of Judea, Paul speaks of, are some of the most ancient congregations in the history of Christianity, the oldest in Christendom, as Hans Dieter Betz notes. As also mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 2:14 and Acts 9:31, they were formed probably sometime before Paul's conversion in AD 31 or 34. Here they are marveling at Paul's conversion story, and almost 2,000 years later, believers and non-believers alike are still marveling at Paul's transformation. Paul's time in Syria and Cilicia, which Acts defines more specifically as Tarsus, is known as Paul's silent years. Bringing in the chronology in Acts, Paul would have spent almost a decade in his hometown of Tarsus before Barnabas brought him back to Antioch in AD 45 or 46. Like Paul's time in Arabia, we are left to our historical imagination as to what Paul did during these long years. As with Arabia, it must have been a time of prayer and contemplation, and if we know Paul, and we do, he spent the time preaching Christ and him crucified and risen again. In fact, it's likely during this time Paul had the visions of the Lord, in which he was caught up to the third heaven, as he records in 2 Corinthians 12, 1-6. In his biography of Paul, New Testament scholar N.T. Wright imagines further, he reread Genesis, he reread Exodus, he reread the whole Torah and the prophets, especially Isaiah, and he went on praying the Psalms. With hindsight, he saw Jesus all over the place, not arbitrarily, not in fanciful allegory, but as the infinite point where the parallel lines of Israel's long narrative would eventually meet. These parallel lines are central to his mature thinking and foundational for what would later become Christian theology. Paul wrote all the letters we possess in the New Testament after his silent period. As I quoted Martin Hengel as saying in the previous chapter, more happened in Christology and theological advancement in this decade in Cilicia, and a little before in Arabia, than in all the later centuries of Christian theological development. It was during this time that Paul came to a mature understanding of the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son. Romans 1:1-3. These first two decades of the Christian movement would be almost completely lost to us if it were not for Paul's early letters. Whether in Jerusalem or Damascus or Arabia or Antioch, Paul was there meeting with Peter, James, John, and no doubt others who knew the historical Jesus. Through Paul, we can reach back into the 30s and 40s AD of the Christian movement. To repeat Tabor from above, Paul gives us an original first-person source, the most valuable tool any historian can work with. In addition, Ehrman makes this profound statement, and so, in the letter to the Galatians, Paul states as clearly as possible that he knew Jesus' brother. Can we get any closer to an eyewitness report than this? Paul knows one of these brothers personally. It is hard to get much closer to the historical Jesus than that. It is hard to get much closer to the historical Jesus than that. Now that we have time traveled through history, observing Paul's background and transformation, and why Paul is the bedrock eyewitness of the earliest stage of the Christian movement, in the next chapter, we'll begin to discuss this bedrock source that Paul received within a decade of Jesus' death. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-7. It is from this source / creedal tradition that we learn all of the bedrock facts discussed in the remainder of this book, with the exception of the rise of the Nazarenes in chapter 7. In this pearl of great price, we have the bedrock source for the unalterable bedrock of Christianity. That'll finish up chapter 2 and this week's reading of The Bedrock of Christianity by Dr. Justin Bass. Make sure you check out the show notes for links to his website to pick up copies of his books. Check out his YouTube page. Also, link to groundworksministries.com. for daily Bible studies and devotionals, and also, of course, the cigar of the week, the Rocky Patel, the Edge Maduro, and also the Burning Bush Podcast merchandise store to help pick up some items to help spread the word about the show. So until next week, have a great day, have a great cigar, and God bless.